website, and you can fill out information that's there, and we want to get to you a gift, or there's a Connect card in front of you that you can fill out and turn in to our Welcome Center. We have a gift for you, but most of all, we are glad that you're here, and we welcome you. Delighted to see you here. As a reminder to the fact that your first fruits giving, there's several ways that you can give in your tithe and your offerings. Some of them are right there on the screen for you. Out in the foyer, there's a first fruits giving card out there. You can fill that out, and God's going to continually bless you and continually meet your needs as you are faithful in your tithe and your offerings. There are a couple of things that I want to remind you of that are going to be going on here shortly. The Lake Geneva Christmas Parade is on December the 7th. And so following our 10:30 service this morning, there's going to be a meeting for those who would like or are interested in helping to put the float together. And we want you to be a part of that. That'll be following our 10:30 service this morning. November 20th is our churchwide prayer and worship night. We're going to have some strategic things to pray about, and I want to encourage you to come and to pray with us and come and worship with us. And we're going to do that together here in the sanctuary. Our young people are going to be joining us. It's a church-wide thing, and we are inviting you to come and be a part of that night. You've probably noticed the last couple of weeks there are some couple of big boxes that are Christmas wrapped, and we want you to know that this is our gifts from Friends of Jesus. And this year Mount Zion will again be participating in this Jesus toy drive, and so we want you between now and December the 4th to come and bring gifts. They're looking for gifts that are $15 of value or newer, new gifts to give to children that aren't going to have much of a Christmas. And it's one thing for them to have a gift that they can unwrap, but to know that Jesus, it came from the Friends of Jesus, and if they'll just unwrap the gift called Jesus Christ, the Savior and Lord, they will find peace forevermore. So bring that. And the wrapping party is going to be on December 4th at 6 o'clock in our gym. And they're going to be wrapping all of these gifts that are coming and being put in those boxes out front. And then just a reminder that next Sunday following our 10:30 service is going to be the information meeting for the missions trip to El Salvador that will be taking place next August. And we would encourage you to come and find out what it's all about and be a part of that meeting and discover if that's what God wants you to do and be a part of that. We are going to be celebrating Veterans Day tomorrow, but we're going to celebrate Veterans Day right now, and we'd like all of our veterans, if you will please stand. Would you do that? Would all of our veterans stand, please? And I'm going to ask Pastor Dave to come and amen.
Very good. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for these men. I thank you for the women that have served this precious nation. And Lord, we have freedom today to worship because of the sacrifice of our brothers and sisters who have served. So Father, I ask you to bless them, watch over them, guide and direct them. Father, we also lift up this nation that, Lord, we would come back to you and that, Lord, you would draw the United States of America back to you. And that, Lord, once again, we would be one nation under God. And that, Lord, we could do your bidding and add to your kingdom in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. All right. If you have your Bibles, Ruth. Ruth chapter 2. We were singing earlier, "That is who you are." Now, I have to make a disclaimer. I'm going to be a little calmer than usual today because I'm preaching one-handed, okay? Got to hold the mic. That is who you are. As I read the second chapter of Ruth, think about who God is. Think about his character, and think about this one word, hospitality. All right? If I had one word to describe what's going on today, it's hospitality. It needs to be in the body of Christ. If you hang around after this service, when the next service starts, if you open the two back doors, you will hear noise coming in because people don't want to go home. They like the fellowship. Hospitality, that's what Christianity should be all about. And it's also why we want to build a bigger area back there for people to gather in. But as I read through this notice and think about that word, it says, now Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, a man of standing from the clan of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor. Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. So she went out, entered a field, and began to glean behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she was working in a field belonging to Boaz, who was from the clan of Elimelech. Turn to somebody and say, imagine that. Just then, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they answered. Boaz asked the overseer of his harvesters, who does that young woman belong to? The overseer replied, she is the Moabite who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather the sheaves behind the harvesters. She came into the field and has remained there from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter. So Boaz said to Ruth, my daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with the women who work for me. Watch the field where the men are harvesting and follow along after the women. I have told the men not to lay a hand on you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled. At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She asked him, why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner? Boaz replied, I've been told all about you and what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord, she said. You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants. At mealtime, Boaz said to her, come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar. When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. Let her gather among the sheaves and don't reprimand her. Even pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up and don't rebuke her. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening, and then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to the town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law asked her, where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you. Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz, she said. The Lord bless him, Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. He has not stopped showing his kindness to the living and the dead. She added, the man is our close relative. He is one of our guardian redeemers.
Then Ruth the Moabite said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting all my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work with him, because in someone else's field you might be harmed." So Ruth stayed close to the women of Boaz to glean until the barley and the wheat harvest were finished, and she lived with her mother-in-law. Father, we ask in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for the character of the characters in this story to enter into us, to make us like them, Lord Jesus. That, Lord, we could understand it and it would take place here in the flesh, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're following in your outline, the first point, Ruth was willing to work for her food. It seems like such a simple thing, doesn't it? But she said, "Let me go and glean." Ruth was willing to work. How I want to preach this in Washington. My Bible says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Ruth was willing to work. And again, just like last week, they went to Moab for food. And here Ruth goes out to work for food. In the words of my six-year-old grandson this morning on his third bowl of cereal, "Grandpa, I love to eat." I look at him and I say, "Where are you putting all that cereal?" But Ruth was willing to work. We have two widows, and she didn't stay at home. She said, "Let me go out. Let me glean." Now look at your next point. Gleaning was God's welfare system for Ruth and Naomi. Again, would I love to take this to Washington? And do you know that this is prescribed by the law? All right, Deuteronomy chapter 24, beginning in verse 19. God says to Israel, when you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. What remains is for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for what? For the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that is why I commanded you to do this. God had a plan for the foreigner, for the fatherless, for the widow. And this is his plan for Ruth. And Ruth is a foreigner. She doesn't even know this, and yet she does this. And Naomi says, "Go ahead." Are we willing to work, church? Now, Charles Spurgeon gives us a spiritual side of this. And first, I have to ask you, who knows what gleaning is? Who knows what harvesting is and what threshing is, you see? I mean, I love how this works out. She goes out there, and then Boaz goes, "Hey, guys, drop a little for her, okay?" But she went out, and an ephah is about 30 pounds of grain. Does anybody know how much barley you have to pick up one stalk at a time to get 30 pounds of grain? And then she had to go thresh it. She may have even taken the straw home with her. They may have used the straw also. But she had to work. And she was willing to work. And this was God's way of taking care of them. And Charles Spurgeon says, we glean one stalk at a time in God's word. Anybody here want to know the entire Bible in one day? Huh? I want to get it all. I'm going to know it all. No, you're not. Spurgeon also says you can swim for the bottom your entire life and you'll never get there. Yet he says a baby can swim in the Word of God and they won't drown. But some days God gives you one stalk of truth at a time. Now for the church, I have to say this. If you're in here today and you say, well, I don't have time to read the Word every day, you're starving spiritually. And we have to get into the Word. If you want to eat spiritually, if you want to be fed, if you want to be healthy, then you have to get into the Word of God every day, and you have to meditate on the Word of God, and you have to think about God every day. Ruth was out there one stalk at a time picking up enough so her and Naomi could eat. And it's just my opinion, but our world is starving spiritually, church. They're not willing to go out into God's Word and really get the answers. We're good at blaming people, but we're not good at taking the answer and making it work. So gleaning was God's welfare system for Ruth and Naomi. Now look at your next point. God led Ruth into a field that belonged to Boaz. Has anybody here ever watched Hallmark movies? Oh, my goodness, if I don't get to the television first when I get there, especially right now, Hallmark is on. And in the first minute of the movie, I say to my wife, that guy and that girl are going to kiss at the end. That's the end of the movie. Can we watch the game now? And she says, no, I like it. There's no violence, she says. There's no swearing and there's no sex. We're going to watch it. That's how I think about this awesome book, church. But we have it going on here. She's led by God into the field that belonged to Boaz. And it's just a beautiful setup. Turn to somebody and say, we know what's going to happen. Isn't it awesome? And I still keep reading. You know what happens to me? I'm like, oh, man, I know what's going to happen. And an hour later, I'm sitting there watching that movie with my wife. You know, righteousness is attractive. It truly is. Look at your next point. Boaz arrived with a godly greeting. Look at verse 4 of your text, all right? Look at verse 4. It says, Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you, they answered. How do you greet people? What do you say to people when you see them?
Hi. How are you? How you doing?
I like Pastor Michael's greeting. What's God saying to you? Do you see what Boaz did? Boaz comes walking in. And he doesn't say, hey, how's the harvest going? What's going on? Why are you guys standing around? He says, look at what he says. It's right there, the Lord bless you, or the Lord be with you. And they answer, the Lord bless you. I dare you to do that. I dare you to come up and say to somebody, the Lord be with you. Interesting, isn't it? Doesn't it tell you something about Boaz's character? Do you realize these are the first words that we see Boaz speak? What are the first words people remember you saying to them? Tells us something about his character, doesn't it? Look at your next point in your outline. Boaz is a shepherd that knows his sheep. Boaz comes in, he looks over the field, and what does he say? He says, hey, who is that lady right there? Now, Ruth was a foreigner. Maybe she dressed different, maybe not, but I think Boaz knew all his workers. I think he knew everybody that was in his employment, everybody that was in his clan, we might say. And he notices right away. And he says to the guy in charge of his harvesters, he says, hey, who is that? And the guy says, that's Ruth. That's a Moabite who came back with Naomi. Let's relate this to church. I love it when we have visitors in church. But we've had long, long discussions over how do we greet visitors. You know, 30 years when I started coming here, you know what we used to do with visitors? We used to have them stand up. I can see the people that were here. They're going, yeah, we did. If you're visiting, stand up. And then we had the stewards come up forward, and we gave them all, you know, a visitor's packet. And then we found out what was going on is the visitors were staying out back until that was over in the service, and then they would come in. I like the way Boaz did it. Boaz didn't say, if you're visiting with us today, stand up. He knew right away because he was a good shepherd, and he knew who his sheep were. And he just said, hey, who's that young lady that's here? I don't recognize her. Hint for all the churchgoers that are here all the time. When somebody visits, just greet them. Be hospitable. Just welcome them. Isn't that what it's about? So Boaz is this awesome shepherd, and he knows his sheep, all right? Now, I love this story. Nothing gets more romantic than this. Turn to somebody and say, Boaz is in love. Go ahead. This guy doesn't have a chance, you see. This is God ordained. You know, when Ruth and Boaz went to marriage counseling and we asked him, do you think God's in this thing? They were like, had to be. Had to be. But it's such a great exchange. He comes and he talks to her. You see, and she bows down to him, and she says, you know, who am I that you notice me? I don't even have the status. She says, I don't even have the status of one of your servants. And what does he say? He says, listen, I've heard everything that you've done for your mother-in-law, Naomi. Think of the word hospitality again, church. He says, I've heard everything about you, and I know about your character. And he said, now you make sure you stay here with my ladies when you're gleaning. Here's your next point. Boaz noticed Ruth's faithfulness to God and Naomi, and he rewarded it. I want to reintroduce something into the church. It's faithfulness. You know, somebody just told me about some movie star or singer or something that claims to be a Christian, and I said, let's give him a few years. Is that okay? I'm not being cynical, critical. I want him to be a Christ follower, but I said, let's see what goes on in a couple years from now. See what the walk is like. Faithfulness. You know what needs to be taught in seminaries for pastors? Faithfulness. Stick with the flock. Take care of the sheep. Don't give up. Don't give in. Speak the truth in love. And here, Boaz noticed Ruth's faithfulness to God and Naomi, and then he rewarded it. Excuse me, Psalms 91, verse 4. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. Back to Ruth and the story. Look at verse 12. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel. Listen, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Body of Christ, this morning, whose wings have you taken refuge under? What do you do when you're in trouble? Who do you run to? Where do you go? The first thing we should do is we should hit our knees in prayer, and we should ask God to help us and realize that he wants to cover you with his wings. But what do we do? I don't know about you folks. I'm so independent, I always try to fix it myself. You guys know that? Boy, does that get me in trouble. I've made a hash of more things. And then you call on the name of the Lord, and what happens? He comes to your aid. See, the faithfulness to God and Naomi is rewarded. Boaz noticed. He heard about it. Are you faithful? When the going gets tough, are you faithful? You know, it's so much easier to run sometimes, but really the reward is in the faithfulness. Marriage is tough. Stay faithful. You won't always agree with your parents. Stay faithful. Don't bail. Stay in the relationship. Stay faithful. Hold fast to God. Hold fast to the relationship. When I was a little kid, I remember this. I had older brothers and sisters, and they all got married before I did. And I heard this conversation. Let me see. I'm the fifth in line. So I heard this four times for my three sisters and my older brother who got married. My mom would be on the telephone talking to her friends, telling them that so-and-so just got engaged, one of my brother or one of my sisters, you see. And I know what was going on the other end. They were saying, well, do you like him? Do you like her? This was my mom's answer. My mom's answer was, they're old enough to get married without my permission. So she said, I'm going to love them so that I can help them if they need it. Faithfulness. Faithfulness, church. You see, stay in there. Work for it. Fight for the relationship. And Boaz said, hey, I noticed what you've done, Ruth, for Naomi. Look at your next point. Boaz nurtured and protected the new convert. Please don't forget that Ruth grew up in a culture totally different from Israel. They worshiped many gods. They worshiped false gods. They didn't practice what Israel practiced. They didn't have the law to follow. And so she comes in to a different culture totally. And Naomi's character brought her in, but now she has to live in the culture. Let's just take a moment. On the 10 o'clock news, what would you hear about Ruth going out into a field full of strangers? What might happen to her today? Don't think about it too much. But Boaz says to her, now you stay here and you stay with my young men and my young women because I told them not to harm you. And what does Naomi say? Naomi says, you stay with them because otherwise in someone else's field you might be harmed. And in the midst of this, I want to say to you, body of Christ, this is what God has planned for us. Safety, peace, protection, holiness, purity, no sex outside of marriage, no slave trade. Is everybody listening to me? Because if you watch the 10 o'clock news, you know what would be going on. And Jesus came to get rid of that garbage. And he came to bring healing. And Boaz nurtures and he protects a new convert. And he says, Now, Ruth, stay with us. We will protect you. Come here. Let me feed you. If you know somebody that's new to Christianity, if you have grandchildren, if you have children that are young, you need to nurture and protect them. You need to speak the word of God to them. One of my favorite lines from all my children, when my wife quotes scripture, they go, we knew you were going to say that, Mom. Amen. And Boaz, he recognizes what's going on with Ruth, and he takes care of her, and he feeds her. It's not just physical, it's also spiritual, and it's watching over her. So if you know someone that's new to Christianity, feed them the word of God. How many people in here text? You text? Yeah, go to your Bible app, click on a verse, copy it, text it to someone. You just fed them. You just turned their mind to Jesus. it'll help protect them. And Boaz watches over Ruth, you see. He goes just totally crazy. He says to his men, hey, drop some stalks. Act like you don't know what you're doing when you harvest. Drop some. Leave them behind for her. Make sure she gets all she needs. Wow. It's how we have to learn to treat people. It has to be part of our character, church. So Boaz treats Ruth this way. Look at your next point. Ruth shared her lunch with Naomi. I just love what goes on. There's nothing bad in this chapter. This is awesome. And it says, when Ruth got home, she fills in Naomi, and she says, hey, here's what happened. I worked in Boaz's field today. He told me stick with him through the harvest. That way no harm would come to me. And then she says, here, Naomi, I couldn't eat everything he gave me for lunch, so I saved it for you. Here, have a meal. Hospitality. Ruth could have said, hey, I worked for this. I'm keeping it. It's not what she did. She said, here, have something to eat. I brought this home for you. It's amazing. As the body of Christ, church, do we do this? Is this our character? What were we singing this morning? That is who you are. Mount Zion Christian Church, who are we? How are we going to win Walworth County? I don't know about you folks, but I want fields that are safe for my grandkids to work in. I refuse to let the 10 o'clock news in, all right? How can it happen if we live with this kind of character? It can happen. And last week when Naomi came back, hopeless, bitter, we need to turn that around with the character of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to get under his wing. And we need to take hope. And we need to see the light. And we need to spread the light. And we need to shine it in the darkness. Look at your next point. Harvest and hospitality restore hope. Harvest and hospitality restore hope. Ruth went out into the harvest. She was willing to work. And then the hospitality that she felt and what she brought back to Naomi. And suddenly there's hope for two women who in the last chapter ended by saying, Naomi said, I'm bitter. I'm hopeless. But the character of Jesus Christ comes back. And it starts to bring hope. Psalms 126 and verse 6, those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with them. Church, you know what God would love you to do today? He would love you to leave this place, see what's going on in the world, and bring back lost people to get saved for the kingdom of God. Bearing your sheaves with you. Bring them with. Invite them to meet Jesus. Love them when they walk through the door. Sit with them. Practice hospitality. Show them where the sweets are after the first service. Tell them there's bread in the back of the table here. Take it. Harvest and hospitality. What does the Word of God say? Hebrews 13 says, do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it. What's your character like, church? What will win the lost, church? Here's what will win them. If we take on the character of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the character that Boaz had, great point. I don't know if you noticed this. Before Boaz got there, all of his workers acted like him. Do you know that? Ruth came and said, "Can I gather behind your harvesters? Can I glean behind them?" And the superintendent didn't say, "Wait a moment. I need you to fill out these forms. Wait till my boss gets here." That's not what happened. They had the exact same character as their shepherd, as Boaz, who had the exact same character of his father in heaven, whose wings Naomi came under. This morning, church, the question is, what's our character? Do we have that loving, caring character? When you run into a foreigner, to someone that doesn't look like you, who doesn't talk like you, who doesn't live where you live, how do you treat them? In this trip that my wife and I took to North Carolina, we went to be with Samaritan's Purse. And I met a couple who live on the Texas-Mexican border. They completely changed my view on immigration. And these are their words. They said, "Quit listening to the 10 o'clock news. Come and see what it's like." You know what they said to me? They said, "We have so many legal immigrants coming in that come in legally with papers who have absolutely nothing." They said, "We were exhausted being obedient to God." And I had to take everything I had in my mind from the 10 o'clock news, and I had to throw it away. And they gave me their card, and they said, "Come and visit. Come and see what actually goes on." I called Bob Hannes, and he said, "It's about 2 hours from my place." I said, "Yes. Good stretch of the legs for a Harley." See, don't believe it. Come and see. Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we were singing, "That is who you are." And Lord, you are hospitable. Father, I pray that we would have the mind of Christ this morning. And that, Lord, we could learn to be like Boaz. Boaz was holy. Boaz was a worshiper of God. He didn't give up his belief. He didn't give up his love for you. But when Ruth came into the picture, he nurtured her and he protected her. And as a result, Lord, she conformed to your image. She left Moab behind. And she worshiped the one true God. Father, I pray for that character in the body of Christ here at Mount Zion Christian Church. And Lord, I pray as we leave today and we walk out the back doors that that character is embedded in us. And Lord, there are some here, like myself sometimes, we grow weary in well-doing and we get tired out and we get exhausted and then we forget your awesome character. Lord, restore us today. Help us to take hopelessness and bitterness and restore hope, because that hospitable character that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ showed to the 4,000 when he fed them, and to the 5,000 when he fed them, and when he said to his disciples, "Hey, you feed them. You give them something to eat." Lord, take that character, place it in us, and then use it, Lord, so that we can come back here bearing sheaves, bearing souls that don't know you yet, that will meet that loving kindness and that holiness and the purity that we were meant to live with. And Father, we pray that you would add to your kingdom by using this body of Christ in a time of harvest. In Jesus' precious name, amen.
If you need prayer, we want to pray for you. If you need time at the altar, there's time. And there's also treats over there. God bless you.